One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio. The message that you are about to hear is part two, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, on a message called The Spirit of the Antichrist. Here we are looking at the spirit of this world and the design of the Holy Spirit in Christian ministry, and how when we confuse those or we try to borrow the spirit of this world to do ministry, the consequences are catastrophic in the life of Christ's church. We want to consider this today and hope this is a blessing to you. You can visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today, the spirit of the Antichrist. So the question really becomes, do we believe that anything really powerful happens when the man stands up and preaches the cross faithfully? Well, Paul just said the mature know it. The mature get it. The mature have tasted it. They know its power. The immature are caught up in a whole bunch of other things. And most of all, he's going to say, and this is the thing that's kind of unwritten here, to have us be challenged with what the immature are really flirting with. The problem is no different today than in Corinth. What was their question? Their question in Corinth was the same kind of questions that we deal with. How are we going to make our church acceptable in a culture like this? I mean, listen to these orators. Look at what everything is happening. Listen to their speeches. Look at the pomp of Corinth, and we're this little insignificant group among the greats. How are we even going to make it? And I've steadily tried to paint the picture of you for you of what that culture was like and the pressures that they felt and what they dealt with in the ministry. And I hope you felt how great those pressures were for them. Paul is saying, in contrast to all of that, he's saying, listen, we purposely chose to preach Christ, and God chose that. Now listen to this. This is so important tonight. God chose that knowing it wouldn't work. Do you feel that? God chose this to be what it is, knowing the whole design of it, it wouldn't work. I qualify, humanly speaking. And Paul explains that. That's verse 7. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So what we're doing, the wisdom that we're imparting, it's hidden. It's secret. It's the mystery of the cross. No man can get to it in his own power. You can't get to it. You can't obtain it. Its very design in the decree itself from God in eternity was that it would be completely sealed off to the natural man. Do you understand that? This ministry is sealed off to the natural man. God hid it. Let me try to state that more clearly. Whatever is of God is absolute wisdom. But the world regards whatever is of God as absolute foolishness. And what the world regards as wise, God says, is absolute foolishness. So there's no meeting between these two. There's no middle ground between these two. And I believe you really have to let this point sink in for a minute. what we do here, what we're doing in the church, the world, anyone out there or anyone in darkness will never, ever, ever, ever find valuable. Which makes you pause and say, when something is immensely popular with the world in the name of the church, how could we ever think God's involved in it? This is the challenge. All of this wisdom is hidden in the mystery of the cross, a message that makes no sense. And what does he mean? Paul says, well, go ahead and look at the world's wisest men. Check them out. Look at the world's wisest men, who all of the men who are put in power today, who are you think are the most powerful leaders in the world? I want you to look at them, because look at them. None of those rulers of this age understood this wisdom. They didn't get it. For if they had got God's wisdom, they'd have never done what they did to Jesus and put him on the cross. They would have never crucified the Lord of glory. For them, wisdom was to take Jesus and exercise all of their power. And what was the extent of Roman power? It was the cross. What do I mean? You didn't mess with Rome. You want to get in trouble and you want to violate Rome, they put a cross up and said, don't mess with us. No earthly ruler would have ever accepted this message that the cross was God's way of deliverance. You see? There's no way. So I come back to the question, why were they so much flirting with human wisdom? Well, it's because of the immense challenge of what we do. Did you hear Andrea Ferrari last Sunday night, our missionary from Italy? He's in Italy. And if you got to sit and listen to his presentation, somebody asked him, they said, what's your greatest challenge in Italy? They're in Italy, he's preaching the gospel, he's steadily committed to preaching the word. They've got 45 people in that church. Everyone would look at that and say, well, I mean, that's just powerless. You know what he said was his greatest challenge? Keeping our young people. Did you hear that? Consciously working hard to preach the cross in a little off-beaten path store, whatever it was, a little building. We have the same pressures. How can we keep our young people in this? Here's the point. No one can. You can't. You understand that? You can't keep your young people. Until that sets in, it's not going to have the kind of effect it should. The allure of this, the allure of SoCal especially, it's way too strong. There's no way you can keep your children. There's no way Pastor Gordon can keep his children. I'm doing everything I can to train them and nurture them in the Lord for a reason. But here's what really offends the Lord. Here's what, using basic language, here's what ticks them off. Well, you know, it's not working. And we need to fix this. And what are the things that we think need to be fixed? Let me use extremes for a minute. What is the psychology behind a hip pastor, sports, coffee bar style worship, big band, best dramas, best lights, best backdrop? What's the psychology behind that? What is it? Well, it's not that hard to figure out. If you can make people feel as comfortable in church and familiar with it as what they experience in the world and non-threatening, they'll come. That's the psychology behind it. If you can make them feel just what they feel when they go out there, when they come in here, they'll come. And that's why there's no limits then on trying to bring in, right? But why does that offend the Lord? Well, we're so worried about everyone coming in here feeling what? Comfortable. You ever thought that you should be praying that anyone who comes in here feels massively uncomfortable? He didn't put his son on the cross to suffer the wrath of God to make people comfortable in how they feel about themselves. This message is designed as a rescue center for sinners. And that's what he's trying to tell us here. It's a rescue ministry, this is, for sinners who, without Christ, are under the wrath of God. And you don't want to be there. So if anyone comes off the street and they don't believe in Jesus, I hope they're moving around in their seat. And they're so agitated, they've got to think a lot about this great question, how am I going to be right with a holy and just and pure God? You can't win the world with its own philosophy. That's the point. It's an absolute impossibility. And that's what Paul is saying to us tonight. In verse 9, I was so struck with verse 9 tonight. I want everyone to look at verse 9 because this is the verse we quote at funerals and when we're having a hard time in life, and a good verse for that, but it doesn't really fit the context. Listen to this verse in verse 9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Beautiful verse. I love that verse. It's kind of a collection of Old Testament thoughts, mainly taken from Isaiah 64. Break it down, though, for a minute. Just look at that verse and break it down. Eyes, ears, understanding. It has everything to do with what? Your senses. Now, here's what I believe he's saying. I want you to think about your senses. I want you to think about for a minute, what is the greatest thing you see? What is it? What is the best thing you want to hear? What, according to your understanding, the greatest thing you think would work? What is it? God just said no human wisdom could ever attain to it. You'll never reach it. How things look, how things sound, and what you think in your own understanding would be the answer to get to life. To get to life. What does it say there? Nobody has ever accomplished what God has prepared. No one has ever got there. That's what that verse is saying. Nobody could ever get there by thinking how alive we could make it, how vibrant we could make it, how wonderful it all could sound, how attractive we could ever possibly make it. We'll never get to the glory that God has prepared. Now that has remarkable implications. In other words, let me put it a little more clearly. The way of what worship looks like, the way of how music sounds, or whatever you think would be the answer, can never attain to it. Never attain to what God has prepared. I'm not against emotions and feelings and good music. But when we're grabbing for power in those things and then borrowing from the world to make it all seem really powerful to retain people, you're not listening to the Lord's ministry. You know, Israel tried that. Remember when Israel made a golden calf? Israel makes the golden calf and they hold it up and they say, oh, this is the Lord God who brought you out. This is God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And what did they do? They all fixed their eyes on it. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was a beautiful, pure gold. And it led to something that I don't know if we've often thought about. Remember what happened? Joshua is coming down. He's halfway at the mountain. Moses is coming down. Joshua comes down and this something's going on down in the camp. And Joshua comes down and he can't figure out. He hears this noise and he says, what in the world is going on down at the bottom of the mountain? It sounds like the noise of war. No, but it's not the noise of war, nor the cry of defeat. It's the sound of music. What in the world? Eyes, music. This is a wow, rocking out worship service at the bottom of the mountain in the wilderness. I mean it. How do you compare the sound of war with the sound of music? He had never heard anything like it. And you stop and you say, whoa, what just happened then? I mean, How do you confuse those things? The curious thing is that Joshua had never heard singing like that in his life. And what does that tell you? Israel had put up the calf. They rose and they sat down to play. And to understand this, you have to understand that what they did, they went back to the practices that dominated them in Egypt. They went back to the world. The pagan religions worshiped their deities. The pagan religions had the best music around their deities, and the worship services were totally governed by the senses. And what they believed was the more out of control you were, the more you communed with the deity. And that's exactly what Israel was doing. They completely abandoned all control to commune with the golden calf to which the demon was behind. And it wasn't powerless. Let me tell you, there was roaring power in the camp that day. And they had opened themselves up to the demonic realm. And what's so chilling about it was, Joshua says it's the music that was doing it. So the pagan music of the Egyptians was totally unrestrained. And what it was thought is that, you know, it didn't have order, it didn't have intelligence, it didn't have content, it was endless repetition to control the emotions. And Moses comes down and he observes that they are wild and out of control. Now, what does that tell you about the dangers of idolatry and music and worship? Music is wonderful and I want it to be great. But I guarantee you, as they sat there, they would have said that God's ways were not nearly as exciting as that golden calf experience. You see how powerful music can be? And you say, well, why has this been the single great issue that's divided the church today? It's because the devil loves that playground. You say, I want to feel good when I sing. So do I. I love to feel good. But I know that's not the truth. That is so deceptive in the course of my life, you know. I don't need music to whip me up and blast my emotions. I don't need that. I know this God loves order, design, and intelligence. Here's the point tonight of all of that. The point is, the best things you could put in place here, the front of the church, the best spiritual music you ever think would work, the best stuff you can do with your own personal understanding, the best planning for worship will never attain to the glory God has. And that should be a warning. You don't win anyone with that. And so the question then becomes tonight, well, how does God chosen to work? And this is what Paul says in verse 10. These things, this glory that God has prepared for you, He's revealed to us through His Spirit. God has to reveal this to you. It's by His good pleasure that He reveals this to you. The Spirit has to open up your hearts, and no amount of human wisdom can ever get there. I love what Paul says at this point. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person except the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, you know this from real life. I can't walk up to you and know what you're thinking. I can't walk up to you and know what's going on in your mind and heart. Your own spirit knows that. But guess what? You can't do that with God. You can't go up and get into the mind and heart of God. You can't really read what He values. You can't, in your own worldly wisdom and sinful nature, ever get there. But guess what? The Holy Spirit can. Isn't that powerful? The Spirit knows the mind of God. The Spirit searches the mind of Christ. And here's what He does, verse 12. What a verse. What a verse to highlight. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might, here it is, understand the things freely given us by God. The Spirit, you hear what He just said? The Spirit from the mind of God is given to you so that you understand the mind of God. The Holy Spirit bridges what we could never create with wild worship. And if the mature hear that and the mature receive that, they'll know this because it's given to them by the Spirit. If that's the case, then it's no longer ever about how Chris Gordon makes the ministry effective. I can't do it. And if it becomes about that, then we've forgotten the problem. And Paul says that in verse 13. The Holy Spirit is the only one able to reveal these truths. Why? The natural man doesn't can't get it. Do you understand? The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He can't get it. And Paul is reminding us here, don't forget about what you believe about the human heart. It's a delusion if we think if you merely change the form and the message, or the form and the method of what we do, we'll win people. It's a delusion if we think if we just have a bouncier tune, you'll keep people. That's the Israel model, and it landed them in idolatry. What Paul is saying, we are using the Holy Spirit's wisdom. And if you write down anything tonight, it's this. You can't pass on what comes from the mind of God. You can't pass on God's wisdom to somebody else with human wisdom. Do you understand that? It's like colliding spears. It won't work. You can't take what's in the mind of God and hand it on to somebody else with human wisdom and human technique of what we think will work. That belongs to our minds. That belongs to what we think. So how do we do it? Well, now you understand why the church in Corinth was full of so many problems, beloved. Ripped apart by division, ripped apart by all the wrong priorities, ripped apart all the wrong priorities in the life of the church. Why? Because the main priority was not in place. And Paul closes this tonight by saying, those who are truly mature are able to appreciate the ministry for what it is. No one can get into the mind of God unless we're given the mind of Christ, and that's what the Holy Spirit gives you. I love how one pastor describes it in closing. Worldly wisdom tells us man is good. God's wisdom says, no, you're not. God's wisdom says you're bad. You need a Savior. Worldly wisdom tells us we should pick a church based on all the best programs it offers for our kids and on the fact that the praise band sounds a little bit like the band I saw in concert. Worldly wisdom is fascinated with fame, celebrity, and power. It's the very antithesis of that which Paul instructs us to seek. For the wisdom of the world does not trust God's ways, nor does it find them relevant. And that's where we close. Where is God's wisdom found tonight? Where does the Holy Spirit take what's in the mind of God and give it to you, not with human wisdom? How does he do that? Look back at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. He already told you. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. Here it is. Here's what pleases God. It really pleased God. It excited this God. It pleased God through the folly or foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. There's God's wisdom. There's his method. There's the way of taking what's in the mind of God that he wants given to you. Then the Holy Spirit will bless that. God gave you a powerful gift of salvation by the foolishness of the message preached. A crucified Savior. There is true power to save. In that great interest, dear Christians, when a church is full of that great interest, we will see a church full of people truly born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow the head and are thankful for your power, but we also know that it requires us to deny ourselves, which sometimes is very hard. We don't readily accept this. In fact, we fight against this. And for that, we ask for forgiveness. But in this place, may we all be mature. May the maturity be seen and having confidence in what you put in place. Thank you for revealing these things to us. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do any of this, but you did it. And we know that you want all glory to go to you when somebody's saved, that it's not in the wisdom or power or might of people in their great creative power to save, but that it comes from you. And so may that confidence be building stronger and stronger in this place and around the world today in your church, that there would be great confidence recovered again in the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe, done in the demonstration of your Spirit and of power. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, we're always grateful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. We want you to visit our website. We want to hear from you. Write to us. Download the podcast. 100% of your support goes to bringing these to you. So if you're blessed by this, do please consider supporting us. And always please pray for us. We want to continue bringing Abounding Grace Radio to you and consider it a great privilege. agradio.org is that web address. Thanks for taking time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. The web address is escondidourc.org. escondidourc.org. Address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.